And now stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history.
Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. On this evening's show, we're going to hear some songs about shredded swine flesh.
What?
Some songs about Nelly, we'll celebrate the birthday of Charles Daniels, and sing some lullabies. In preparing for last week's show, I came across the record which is going to start off this segment of the show and thought, well, there's a segment topic. Okay, by show of hands, who out there loves bacon? Yep, pretty much everyone, even though the Coneheads refer to it as shredded swine flesh, and the USDA defines it as the cured belly of a swine carcass. The word bacon comes from the old High German word Bacho, B-A-C-H-O, meaning, as Forrest Gump would say, buttock. Well, even if you don't love bacon, you gotta love these records. So for all you bacon lovers and non-bacon lovers out there, and especially my friend and colleague Tom, here's a set of rapidly rotating records about bacon, beginning with Norman Long.
Before I sing the song, perhaps I ought to tell you how the song originated. A certain gentleman was having a meal of eggs and bacon in a continental restaurant, and as someone in evening dress passed by his table, who he took to be the head waiter, he called him over and asked, "Why is the bacon so tough?" "I don't know, sir," he replied, "but I'll find out." Well, he went over to the orchestra and returned a minute later and said, "I'm sorry, sir, we've not got it, but I'll get it from America, and I'll see that it's played to you the next time you come in." But it turned out to be the musical director. Well, it seemed such a good title for a song that what I'm going to sing to you now is the result. Or perhaps you ought to know that bacon is pig that has come out in rashers. Or another thing you ought to know, that some are born bacon and some have bacon thrust on them. Supposing you come down to breakfast one day, oh dear, what a head. The coffee is cold, there are bills you must pay. You wish you were dead. You turn from your plate and you say to the wife, "I've never seen bacon like this in my life. Oh, why is the bacon so tough? There's nothing like leather, they say. This bacon's the stuff for your household repairs, the soles of your boots and the seats of your chairs. But what made you think it was bacon? I can't get my teeth in the stuff. I'm bound to agree with the people who say a rasher a day keeps the cobbler away. Well, if bacon wrote Shakespeare, tough luck on the play. Oh, why is the bacon so tough? Well, bacon, when tender, is excellent stuff. Lean, streaky, or fat. But bacon is terrible when it is tough. No doubt about that. If you have a rasher you cannot digest, don't shoot your wife, cause she's doing her best. Oh, why is the bacon so tough? That's what I am anxious to know. I'm sending this piece of rhinoceros hide to build a new battleship down on the Clyde. Its place will be rashers of bacon, for steel isn't lasting enough. The Navy will cheer and your health will be drunk. Each sailor will sleep safe and sound in his bunk, for a boat built of bacon could never be sunk. Oh, why is the bacon so tough? Oh, why is the bacon so tough? It mustn't be wasted, you know. The Underground Railway, I fancy, will find that girders and rails can be made from the rind. I don't think they'll use it for tickets, that they can't punch a hole in the stuff. They'll use it to strengthen the permanent way. And when they have straps made of bacon, they say, we shall hang on a rasher the whole of the way. So thank goodness the bacon is tough.
Thank you. down in Macon. And I know she's waiting there for me. Don't ask me why I'm shaking. I'm glad because I'm taking the 515 back where I wanna be. I'm a rolling stone now and then, but I must confess, when she wrote to me, gal, come home, I guess I said yes, cause I'm bringing home the bacon, gonna give instead of taking, that's making bacon, breaking happiness.
Willie Lewis and his Negro Band, recording in Zurich, Switzerland on June 19, 1941, and Bacon's Blues, written by Louis Bacon, trumpeter in the band. Before Willie Lewis, it was Blossom Seeley with the Georgians and Bringin' Home the Bacon, recorded May 10, 1924. Blossom Seeley married ragtime pianist Mike Bernard while still in her teens, but had a very successful vaudeville act in the late teens and early 20s, which featured cornetist Ray Lopez and the composer of Dinah, Benny Davis. Bringin' Home the Bacon was written by Frank Bannister, Lou Caldwell, and fellow vaudeville stars Gus Van and Joe Skenk. The phrase Bringin' Home the Bacon first appeared in print in 1908 and was also a 1924 silent film. Bringin' Home the Bacon was preceded by Blind Joe Mangrum on fiddle and Fred Shriver on accordion with Bacon and Cabbage. Sounds like a meal to me. That was recorded by Victor on Saturday, October 6, 1928, and although the pair recorded five sides in the session, only two, Bacon and Cabbage and Bill Cheatham, were issued. We started the show with British entertainer Norman Long, who was billed as a song, a smile, and a piano, except on radio, where the BBC insisted that he be billed as a song, a joke, and a piano, their logic being that you couldn't see a smile on the radio. That was Why Is the Bacon So Tough? From 1928. That was written by Reginald Arkell and Charles Prentice, and was evidently a very popular song, recorded by Harry Bidgood, both John and brother Bert Furman, Ronnie Monroe, the Mayfair Dance Orchestra, Nat Starr, and Ray Storita. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, I happened to see an article on Huffington Post about the hottest baby names of 2013. Now, I almost didn't bring this up for fear that you might think that I regularly read the Huffington Post, but let me assure you I don't. Anyway, in the list of hot baby names were a number of vintage names, popular many years ago, and one of them is Nelly. Well, I've got a few vintage songs about Nelly, and here are some of them.
Thank you. red, red, red line of ocean known, and was from Antinous filming party I was seeing Nelly home. I was seeing Nelly home. I was seeing Nelly home.
Thank you. Golda, Re Golda, lo tiempo de la esclavitud, lo negro de este tiempo tan civilizado, ya no baila Colombia, la rumba ni el lindo jambo. Tierno recuerdo que me inspira los tiempos de lo negro con gocarapalí. Cuando un tambor tocado con ganas era una vida, la Colombia, la rumba y el lindo jambo. Onilebo, 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 onilebo. Onile, onilebo, onile, onileremo, onile papaya, onile baila rumba, onile basantigua. Onile, 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 onileremo.
You don't hear a lot of Latin rhythms on this show, or lyrics sung in Spanish for that matter, but that was Entobal's Cubans with an unidentified vocalist in 1937 and O'Neill Bo. The band was directed by Eusebio Santiago Aspiazu, who was also known as Entobal, and who was the brother of bandleader Justo Angel Aspiazu, better known as Don Aspiazu. In the 1930s, they both worked to introduce Cuban dance music and musical instruments to U.S. audiences. So what does O'Neill Bo have to do with Nelly, I hear you ask? Well, the song is actually better known as Woe Nelly Woe, a title that was probably given to it by Entobal's wife, lyricist Marian Sunshine, who was a prolific songwriter and came up with English lyrics for Cuban songs. Before Entobal, it was the Territory Band, Jack Lynx and his Birmingham Society Serenaders, and Nelly, recorded in Atlanta, Georgia in August of 1925. Nelly was written by Coleman Sachs, cornetist in the band, and Carol Gardner, who played drums. Nelly was preceded by the Shannon Quartet and the Quilting Party, the alternate title of which is Seeing Nelly Home. That recording is from August 21, 1925, and is the first track on the Rivermont CD, A Little Bit of Heaven, early barbershop quartet recordings 1925 to 1928, for which yours truly wrote the 40-page liner notes. You can check out that CD, along with all of Rivermont's other fine vintage and contemporary recordings, at rivermontrecords.com. Some of you may remember Dick Lane, who was a film actor in the 30s and 40s and became an announcer on KTLA in Los Angeles in 1946, broadcasting wrestling and roller derby shows. It was he who first started using the expression, "Whoa, Nelly," in his commentary when something exciting would happen in the ring or on the track. We started this segment with the song Whoa Nelly, written by George Gould and performed there by Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. The pianist on that September 5, 1924 Victor recording was Harry Perella, and it's records like that which prove that we play music to which you can't not tap your toes.
This is KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon, and you're listening to Glenn Robison's Rapidly Rotating Records, toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s.
Last week, April 12th, marked the birth in 1878 in Leavenworth, Kansas, of composer, lyricist, and music publisher Charles N. Daniels. You may know him as Neil Moret, Jules Lamar, Paul Bertrand, Sidney Carter, or any of a number of other pseudonyms that he used. He studied music in high school and for a year at the University of Kansas and was training to be a classical pianist, but also worked as a song plugger for various Kansas City music companies. In 1898, he entered his composition Marjorie in a song contest and won $25, in addition to having his piece played by John Philip Sousa. The following year, he started his own music publishing firm, Daniels, Russell & Boone. In 1914, he moved to California and started a new publishing firm, which he sold in 1922, and then went to work for Waterson, Berlin, and Snyder. A couple of years later, he opened Villa Moret with bandleader Ben Black, and it became his most successful publishing venture after they wrote Moonlight and Roses. Charles N. Daniels died in Los Angeles on January 23, 1943. Here are four from Charles Daniels.
When you just haunt me all day, oh, tell me, where can I find what I found when I first met you? You were unkind, but I simply can't forget you. Where shall I go, when I go, where I go, since you have sent me away? Thank you.
With solos by Muggsy Spanier, Slats Long, and George Bruneys, but no Ted Lewis vocal, that was Ted Lewis and his orchestra with Here You Come With Love from July 28, 1933. Before that, from December 10, 1924, was Dave Harman, H-A-R-M-A-N, and his dance orchestra with Nancy, credited to Ben Black and Neil Moret. George Olson also recorded Nancy about a month before with a vocal refrain by Lewis James. Nancy was preceded by another Black Moret effort, On the Way to Monterey, performed there by Ray Miller and his orchestra on February 5, 1925. And we started off our tribute to Charles Daniels with Vincent Lopez and his Casa Lopez Orchestra and a fun record, Song of the Wanderer. Although they were credited on the label of that January 3, 1927 Brunswick record as just Vocal Quartet, you, of course, recognize them as the Revelers, Franklin Bauer, Lewis James, Elliot Shaw, and Wilfred Glenn, who founded the group back in 1917 as the Shannon Four. That was in January, and a couple of months later, the group, with Charles Harrison replacing Franklin Bauer, recorded America the Beautiful for Victor as the Shannon Quartet, and you can hear that record on the Shannon Quartet CD I mentioned in the last segment.
Have a particular song or artist you'd like to hear on rapidly rotating records? Well, you can send your requests and your comments about the show by email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or send cards or letters to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711.
Ethel Chute had her own segment on the show last week, and as my penance for mispronouncing her name the week before, I started the segment by playing Let's Make Up. Ethel wasn't the vocalist on that, it was Joe Morrison, and I credited that Let's Make Up to Jack Golden and Harry Albert. There are two Let's Make Ups, and Golden and Albert wrote the 1926 song, which George Olson also recorded, but the 1933 Let's Make Up that Joe Morrison sang was written by Jack Little, Dave Oppenheimer, and Ira Shuster. Now, Ethel Chute does sing on the flip side of Joe Morrison's Let's Make Up, and I'm going to play that record now to start off a lullaby set, but I don't think anyone's going to sleep.
I want to wander where the willow weeps and lonely crickets cry, where each weird refrain is just another strain of a Louisiana lullaby. Listen to the wistful whistling of the breeze, melody that haunt the silent night. I want to tiptoe through the tangled wood and breathe a peaceful sigh, where the grass is deep. Oh, let me fall asleep to a Louisiana lullaby.
Thank you. off the taxes, the Daffy Dills who handle the day at Angelo's and Maxie's. When the Broadway baby says goodnight, it's early in the morning. Manhattan babies don't sleep tight until the dawn. Good night, baby. Good night. Milkman's on his way. Sleep tight, baby. Sleep tight. Let's call it a day.
Told you no one was going to sleep during that segment. That was Harry Roy and his orchestra with a vocal by Bill Curry and Lullaby of Broadway, written of course by Harry Warren and Al Dubin. Before that it was the Australian band of Dudley Cantrell and the Grace Grenadiers with Lullaby to a Lamp Post from November 22, 1937. Dudley Cantrell's band included his brothers Pete and Bert and appeared at the Sydney Palais Hotel and Grace Brothers Auditorium, as well as being heard on radio. The band made a few records before breaking up in 1938, at which time Cantrell joined the Roy Fox Band for a tour. He worked in theaters in Melbourne and Sydney into the 1950s. Dudley Cantrell was preceded by the Raymond Dance Band, a Stan Greening outfit, and Ukulele Lullaby from January of 1926. Ukulele Lullaby was written by Gene Williams. That was an instrumental, but there are words which were written by Gene Williams and Ray Morrell. We started off that lullaby set with Ethel Chute, July 11, 1933, and Louisiana Lullaby. Louisiana Lullaby was written by Charles Newman, Johnny Burke, and Harold Spina, and was also recorded by Don Bester. Last week I mentioned there were two songs, both titled Let's Make Up, and there were also two Louisiana Lullabies. Well, technically the titles were different, because the Newman-Burke-Spina song that Ethel just sang is spelled Lou-Siana, which would be pronounced Louisiana, but which Ethel clearly sang as Louisiana. And the other is a 1928 song by Lou Zeller and Fred Bernhardt with Louisiana spelled out. And that's the last we're going to hear out of Ethel Chute for a while. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.